Norway's top diplomat to South Sudan, Ambassador Lars Andersen, joins me this morning in the studio to discuss more about Norway's relations and support for South Sudan. Ambassador Lars, good morning and good to have you on Mirai Breakfast Show.
Good morning to you and thank you for having me.
Great. Norway has identified South Sudan as one of the countries where your government needs to engage. Tell us, what kind of engagement are we talking about here?
Well, our engagement with South Sudan goes back quite a long time. I mean, Norway has been engaged with South Sudan since the late 1960s, early 1970s. And surprisingly, a high number of Norwegians have visited and lived in South Sudan. And one of the largest development projects Norway has ever been involved with, in fact, took place in South Sudan, just outside Torit.
Mm-hmm. And what project is that? Just remind us.
That was a project that was initiated by the Norwegian Church Aid at a place called the Hilieu, which was basically providing services and infrastructure to that entire area for quite a long time.
Yes. Understanding that about $61 million has been allocated to heighten support for countries in conflict, how much, if this funding is being allocated to South Sudan?
Well, we cannot give exact numbers yet. This is part of an allocation process which takes place in Oslo. But one can assume that a substantial part of this will be allocated to South Sudan. South Sudan is a... is one of the top recipients of Norwegian aid, and also one of the countries that have been given priority in terms of support to states in conflict.
Tell us more about your work in South Sudan as Norway. What kind of activities are you involved in right now?
Well, Norway has, like I said, we have been involved in South Sudan for quite a long time. So there are almost there are way too many projects to really count them all, you know, at this program. But I would say that support, you know, our work in South Sudan follows roughly three paths. It's the peace and stabilization efforts. We have we provide humanitarian aid because of the desperate situation among the refugees, IDPs, and parts of the population here. And then there are also still development capacity building programs taking place. But I would stress that since 2013, the share of our support to South Sudan has increasingly gone to humanitarian aid.
Yes. Talking about one of the issues you brought forward there is the engagement in implementation of peace or stabilization in the country. Mm. What particular is... how are you supporting the implementation of the peace agreement to resolve the conflict in South Sudan?
Well, Norway has been and continues to be committed to a peaceful development of South Sudan. We are strongly engaged in the and support the revitalization process under the auspices of IGAD. And we do that alongside our partners in the Troika, the U.S. and the U.K. In addition to the embassy, we also have a special envoy for Sudan and South Sudan, and through him we consult on issues related to South Sudan in other capitals such as Addis Ababa, Khartoum, and Nairobi. I would say that it is not certainly not the lack of engagement by Norway which is preventing peace and development in South Sudan. It's really up to the various armed parties to this conflict. If there is will amongst the South Sudanese parties to silence the guns and build a peace, we are here to support it. But I can't stress this enough. The responsibility rests with the warring parties, and we hear loud and clear that the people of South Sudan wants peace, and it's up to the people in power to deliver it.
Yes, and yes, the ordinary South Sudanese have been yearning for peace, God knows for how long at the moment. Well, as we go to this revitalization process of the peace agreement, as you said, Norway and Troika supporting this whole process. How do you look at the revitalization process? I mean, how is it going to go? Is it something that you're quite optimistic that will finally, you know, bring peace for the ordinary South Sudanese?
Well, I think anyone who has been following South Sudan for the last 30 to 40 years would certainly be right to say that the proof is in the pudding, like the British say. There mm-hmm. has been numerous peace efforts, and there has been numerous breach of cessation of hostilities. So, but I would also add that it seems that the first positive step has been taken. The special envoy Weiss from IGAD was here, and his perception. We talked to him yesterday, and his perception was certainly that all of the parties had delivered their dedication to support the revitalization process and to cease the hostilities. We certainly hope that this will develop into a permanent ceasefire and that the implementation of the peace agreement can begin. And I think it is certainly in the implementation of the peace agreement that that's the positive development for South Sudan can begin.
Yes, you said many cessation of hostilities have been violated if one had been following South Sudan for the last 30 years. Mm. Now, as we go for this revitalization process, in your own thought, what can be the deal breaker? What is the game changer here to ensure that peace finally comes to the ordinary citizens who've been crying for it for all this time?
I don't think I would speculate in a specific deal breaker, but I think it does take, in order for this to succeed, it does take a sincere commitment on these parties to reach an agreement where there will be a permanent ceasefire or ceasefire that will hold, and that they commit to implement the peace agreement faithfully. And I think I would like to see that the parties, including the government, embraced UNMISS, for instance, as their ally and friend in building peace in South Sudan, as well as the donors and the other partners on the ground. I think one of the most difficult challenges for the moment is humanitarian access. Mm-hmm. As you well know, South Sudan has been labeled as one of the countries in the world where it is most dangerous to provide humanitarian aid, with close to 90 humanitarian workers killed over the last few years. So being able to provide effective and humanitarian aid is a priority. But in the long run, I think sustainable peace can only be built if there is a consistent commitment of people that are controlling the men with guns to stay with the peace agreement.
Yes. Now, talking about that humanitarian assistance that the Norway has been providing to South Sudan, there are some voices from the international community that we've just heard in whispers threatening to pull out the humanitarian help for South Sudan if peace is not reached or if what is going on in the country does not stop. Where is the stand of Norway when it comes to provision of humanitarian assistance to the South Sudanese population?
For the moment, we have just one plan, and that is to support the revitalization process. We want the revitalization process to succeed. We want the permanent cessation of hostilities. And then we can start providing a type of support which would develop the economy and the country as a whole. I know there has been this discussion about pulling back humanitarian aid, and I think it's for every organization to assess the risks they are exposing their humanitarian workers to, and that they will do that on a daily basis. I certainly do see, regrettably, that there are certain areas which not only are hard to access, but also very dangerous to access, so very little humanitarian aid get through. In the long run, though, I mean, this country cannot be built on humanitarian aid. Obviously, it is development and economic growth which must carry this country.
Well, Ambassador, is that another way of telling us that Norway has suspended its support for other humanitarian activities and other support to South Sudan apart from the revitalization process of the peace agreement?
No. We are, most of our aid for the moment is going to humanitarian aid, and it's likely to continue that way. I think it's rather a question of where and how one gives that humanitarian aid. I mean, I would say also stress an aspect of our humanitarian support, which I think is important, and that is we're trying to do something more than just deliver food and tents. I mean, it is important for us, since humanitarian aid is likely to be a way of supporting South Sudan for quite some time to come, that we think a little more long term in the way that we provide humanitarian aid. For instance, education has been a priority of Norway, and that is because we do sincerely believe that this country's future lies with the children, and the children need education in order to be able to build South Sudan.
What measures must be taken to make it easier and more attractive for South Sudan and Norway to do business and for your activities to be flourishing in the country?
That's a very good question. I personally have a background from business promotion and economic diplomacy, and I would certainly like to see our relationship with South Sudan be diverted towards that, in that direction. First of all, I don't think there's any doubt that we need to see peace and stability in the country, and then there is a need for a legal and economic framework to ensure protection of investments and business activities. And I would say that implementing the peace agreement from 2015 would be a very good start, because that does provide for peace and stability, as well as the development of a legal and economic framework that would reduce the risk and attract investors.
Well, finally, we live in a volatile country where peace has been elusive for 4 years now. Some call it the most dangerous country in the world. Some actually say one of the most volatile places to work in. What are your thoughts on prospects for peace, and how can we deal with the current conflict?
That is, I think, that is the ultimate question, in a way. I think that the prospects of peace has been elusive for this country for many years. Mm-hmm. I do think that the key to that question is really with the South Sudanese themselves. Fortunately, I would say that there are no sort of external armies that are occupying South Sudan, and mm-hmm. the control of the conflict is really in the hands of the South Sudanese themselves. That does not mean that that the people, most of the South Sudanese feel that they have this control, but it is the South Sudanese and the South Sudanese political groups that has this control. That in that lies some hope that they will see beyond their own needs and towards the needs of the people and the nation. I do think that the most important thing that can be done for the moment is for those groups to commit to the implementation of the peace agreement, and that we would see a much more positive and stable development for the country. I would say also, for instance, that as Norway is particularly skilled in the petroleum and energy sector, and we do have some sectors that we could cooperate with the South mm-hmm. Sudan in the future, for instance on the development of the petroleum sector through the investment and technology of Norwegian companies. And we also have a Oil for Development program, which aims to share Norwegian experiences with development countries in order for them to develop their resources sustainably and reduce poverty. And I would say that Norway, like Sudan, has access to petroleum resources for quite a few years. But I would say that Norway's largest success has been in managing these resources in a way that it has benefited the entire population as well as future generations. And I think in that there is some experience sharing that we certainly are willing to do. I would stress again that I think the key to peace and stability in South Sudan lies with the implementation of the peace agreement, and that the revitalization process, which is going on right now, is the best chance of success on that area.